You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Blast it!
With guest host, Andrew Siciliano.
You know, one last thing on Josh Dobbs.
Dobbs back to pass on third down. Fires to the end zone. Touchdown!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
He is basically making his career as the, well, man, we're out of options. We need you, quarterback.
Earlier on the show, co-host of FanDuel TV's Run It Back, Michelle Beadle. Coming up, Pro Football Hall of Famer Charles Woodson, NFL Network analyst Brian Baldinger. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Andrew Siciliano.
On a positive Tuesday, we are nothing but back slapping and big jokes and positivity.
A lot of giggles today, man.
Today. No, we mean that. I mean that. I'm not joking.
No, we're having fun.
We are having fun
today.
Well,
we are joking. You know, that's what's making the fun.
And I'll say this to Brockman, to Jason, to TJ, to Hoskins, to Liz, to Sarah, to Erica, to everyone who's working here today. It is great to work with people that you can laugh with and love working with. And I'm lucky to have that at NFL Network as well. Steve Weitch and yours truly doing game day final, right? That's what we call the show. Game day final last night on NFL Network after the Chargers beat the Jets. And then you guys here today. I'm the luckiest guy on earth. Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on earth. In all seriousness, Charles Woodson coming up in about an hour. Michigan man, Hall of Famer, and the subject of MGM's NFL Icons, MGM Plus, set to air, voiced, by the way, by Rich. And Brian Baldinger will be here coming up next hour, the world's most interesting former offensive lineman. Brian Baldinger, world traveler, presenter of Baldy's Breakdowns, on the Twitter and the Instagram.
Those are so good.
He is so good.
Those are so good.
Sometimes his camera work's a little shaky. Like sometimes he forgets to edit the video. And then you see, like, all of a sudden he drops the iPhone and you're looking at his flip-flops and his bare feet. And that's on the end of the video after, you know, he breaks down Keenan Allen's big catch. But regardless. Anyway, sitting in here for Rich, I'm told, is ready. In Berlin, after a day of what looked like rich, fantastic tourism.
Amazing sightseeing.
Live from Germany, happy Tuesday to you, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm chiming in right around dinner time, Tuesday night. Kind of you to, you know, talk about my day of getting out and about. And part of the reason why I was able to do it is because I slept like a baby. I told you when you're like, hey, yeah, the Jets game, what time does that start your time? 2 a.m. You're going to stay up for it? And I gave you the two words. Hell no.
Hell to the
those
no.
Those are the smartest words. Thing you've ever done.
No, because I thought there was a great chance of some sort of reverting to the offensive mean or, you know, just 2022 roosting on the Jets offense all over again. And sure enough, I woke up this morning. And I, you know, grabbed my phone, put on my glasses, looked at it and saw the headline that the Jets referring to their offensive output as quote unquote inexcusable. Mm. And I'll be straight up with you. I might have awakened the people here in my hotel just laughing because I'm like, yep. Because why would they struggle against a team that has one of the worst defenses in the NFL statistically, despite having talent all over the lot? Why would they struggle when they got Breece Hall and they've got Garrett Wilson and they've got, you know, Zach Wilson playing statistically well of late, and then the tape heads like Kurt Warner, my colleague in the booth from this past weekend, Dan Orlovsky. We had Daniel Jeremiah, who I adore and respect greatly, saying, you know, Zach is making throws and getting put in situations that are very difficult for him to actually go ahead and convert. And sure enough, that's what happened last night. And so 27-6 is the final score. And I got to tell you, at that point, I'm like, all right, I'll just look at the highlights of it and see all 22 types, including Orlovsky, show offensive schemes that weren't good enough and throws that weren't good enough. And everybody chipped in. Fumbles by Zach and Garrett with a drop, right? There was a drop in the end zone. Yeah. As well by the Jets. It was a whole host of, slipping up. And I honestly thought this to myself, guys. I don't know if you discussed it earlier. But how in the world does a team like the Jets, with as smart of people in the room, including Aaron Rodgers, I assume he's not in the room, but he's in the Zoom. So how are we struggling? How are we having this sort of problem? How are we not getting better appreciably? We saw it starting against Kansas City of all teams and of all games on a Sunday night against the Chiefs defense that I just saw hold down to it pretty damn well here in Germany, and they've been doing it. I just mentioned how this is a team that has one of the top defenses in the NFL. Saw them beginning to improve and then winning in Denver, and then I mean this is one of the two things I thought waking up this morning. Is the Eagles have to be looking at this saying, how the hell do we lose to this team? How the hell is this the team that we lost our one game to? That's number one. And the other one, just to complete the thought that I've been talking about over the last couple of minutes, how does this team struggle with all these smart people in the room or in the Zoom? And somebody who has to explain basically his name to people, learn the names of the people he's throwing to, bring the offensive line around him in the middle of a game, you know, live football, if you will, bullets flying, have to bring them together in the middle of a game to tell them, this is my cadence. This is what it sounds like. How does that guy and Josh Dobbs show straight up to Minnesota and put damn near all 31 of those points against Atlanta in a good defense in its own right? How does he do that for the Minnesota Vikings in just 5 days? And this guy and Zach Wilson and this offense with Nathaniel Hackett and this offense with all those talented players looks like that on Monday night. I don't think there's an answer for it. I don't know if the answer is out there, but I saw what you tweeted out, Chris. And, and I'm sure Jets fans are sitting around saying, could have had Josh Dobbs here too. If you want to cough up what, like a six, they coughed up a six to Arizona for him. He was available. He's sitting out there. Why didn't you go do that to try and, at least put some pressure on Zach, or at least take some pressure off him? And I saw that tweet, and it's a very good thought, to be straight up with you, Chris, because why, if he did that in Minnesota in the middle of a game that he wasn't even starting and he just got there to Minnesota and he looked like that and he's getting game balls and hosannas in a locker room like he got in Minnesota, and Zach Wilson in this offense has got to go back to an otherwise championship ready defense and go, my bad once again. It's just a total, complete, to use the sports talk phrase, abomination on that front.
And three-game winning streak right before the trade deadline was fool's gold, right? It lulled them rich into this idea moment that they could survive and get there.
Maybe. And I think part of the reason of this, too, is also it's Aaron Rodgers. It's Aaron Rodgers that basically right now, and the reason why I say it's Aaron Rodgers is that they have him in their mind's eye. They spent the trade deadline not going after Josh Dobbs, but apparently going after Davante Adams to try and bring him here. And in a way, I see what I saw last night, and I understand he didn't light it up with Aiden O'Connell right there, but he has the same number of wins right now as these New York Jets have right now. And that's when I say Aaron Rodgers, I'm not putting any blame on him. I'm saying that they are still putting all their eggs in his basket to return this year, to the point where, Robert Saleh was asked, are you going to replace the play caller? And he said, no. And part of the reason why is because that guy on the screen right there wouldn't appreciate it, wouldn't like it, that's his guy right there. And he's got to turn to his guy and basically say, do you see that I have no crutches on? Do you see that I'm flinging the ball 50 yards? Although nobody's rushing me and I'm not going to get hit. But do you see this? If you want me back, everybody in here, he even told McAfee, the Jets have to be quote unquote alive for him to do that. And the problem for them is now they had an opportunity to be a half game out of first and in front of one of the teams that they've already beaten in the Buffalo Bills. Now they're behind the Buffalo Bills. They have to leapfrog them. Now they're going to be behind the Los Angeles Chargers in this playoff hunt. This team could have been seventh in this playoff picture. Instead, they are 11th behind the Texans and the Chargers and the Bills. This makes them less possible to be alive for Aaron Rodgers. This makes them less in the mix later on this year. And the reason for this is, based on all the all 22 guys that I see, is there is zero imagination. There is zero pre-snap motion, pretty much. There is nothing that the Jets are doing to create some sort of havoc and question for the Los Angeles Chargers defense. And the question is why? Why? And the one last thing on Rodgers, while I'm just on a roll here. I hope he's coming back. I heard, overheard him say that he told Derwin James, give me a few weeks, when Derwin James says, are you coming back? It would make, obviously, this season that much more interesting. All the Jets have to do is hover around that seventh and final playoff spot for this to possibly happen. I don't know, man. Did you see the shoes he was wearing last night? Did you see those?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the shoes I wear when I've got lower back pain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's, they look like the athletic equivalent of whatever DeSantis is wearing. You know what I mean? Like,
you're right.
I can't really put too much. It is election day, right?
Yeah.
So I can't put too much
off here midterm
stock in any of this. I hope this is there to actually help him, get back, because, man, last night, it's just a friggin' shame seeing this defense ball out and do to Justin Herbert things that doesn't really usually happen to Justin Herbert. And they did give up a couple of touchdowns to Eckler, but that one at the end was just window dressing, man. You can't keep three and outing your defense back on the field and expect results. And the Jets defense keeps giving you results. And they are balling out. And I hope that vaunted brotherhood feeling that they keep talking about and truly mean, I'm not, when I say keep talking about, doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It does. They need it, because off of a loss like that, that is beyond deflating. And now they're going to go to Vegas, where the Raiders feel like, they've just been liberated. And then, they have to go to Buffalo and then Miami. It doesn't look good. That is a crucial loss that the Jets suffered last night. And then, I guess, let me just say this for the Chargers. They are now in the realm of, okay, that's two in a row, but who is it against, right? Again, that Jets defense is nothing to sneeze at. That is something that they did their best to get through. And they're playmakers. I mean, good to see Eckler back in the end zone a couple of times like that. That catch I saw Keenan Allen make last night is truly one of the best that's out there. And then the defense has got guys all over the map that you have to tip your cap to, that when you've got a struggling offense that doesn't appear to be throwing much imagination your way, take care of business on the road in front of the whole country like that. Line of the night from Troy Aikman saying Robert Saleh is, surprised that his beard wasn't turning gray, because mine certainly would have if I was staying up till 4:30 in the morning watching that.
Yeah, but Troy was on a bender, Rich. Troy was going all in. You could sense his disgust in the first quarter, and by the end of the game, he was ripping. And he made the point. He goes, everyone says wait until Aaron Rodgers comes back. He goes, I don't think it matters. He goes, this is a bad team. He goes, it's a bad team with a good defense, but I don't know how much better they would be with Aaron Rodgers. And as for those shoes, I told these guys, I spoke to Aaron, saw him briefly at the Breeders' Cup here in Santa Anita in Southern California on Saturday. He's moving just fine. He gave me the same, what he tells everyone. Yeah, I'm getting better. I'm getting better. But those are kind of those shoes your grandfather would wear, walking around the house. They're not meant for playing football, but he's moving fine. Like, anybody who just walked in and didn't know who the guy in the purple suit was, they wouldn't look at him and go, wow, that guy's really dragging his leg. He looks fine,
which is great.
No one is chasing him,
really. I mean, because again, the team that I just saw lose here, the Miami Dolphins, are a team that leads the league in quarterback hits. When you put the Jets schedule up again one more time, if you don't mind. I think they have the Dolphins late in the season. Actually, no, that's not true. They have the Dolphins on Black Friday, and he won't be back for that. How about that one? Let's just say he comes back. What, Cleveland? Really? You're going to have a guy that,
That's a TNF game, too.
Let's do the math. That's 2 months away. 8 weeks removed from wearing shoes like that to having Myles Garrett come after you.
3 days after Christmas on TNF.
All right. Okay. You know what I mean?
No chance.
I just don't know if that is even smart for him.
Exactly.
Even smart for him. Because if he does want to play next year and the Jets are clearly keeping the light on for him in ways that – that, you know, they're bending over backwards. They damn near, I can't, how much, do you know how much Davante Adams must have cost the Jets if the Raiders actually said yes? Honestly, don't you think it would have been at least a one back to Vegas for him?
I mean, could you imagine the look on Devontae's face last night, too, if Zach Wilson overthrew him three times?
I think he's fortunate on that. You know, I don't want to go full Namath here, man. Because again, I just don't know. I'm not a film guy. The film guys are really laying it on Nathaniel Hackett's feet today, and so they've got a short week. Here comes Vegas. Maybe they could turn around and look great. I mean, crazy things have happened in that town. I'm sure. So, there you have it.
As for the playoff seating,
yes, sir.
Just one little thing. Yeah. The guys in NFL Network Research crunched the numbers last night doing game day final, like what could have and what might happen. They actually would have jumped to the sixth spot last night. Cleveland would have gone to seven. They would have had Cleveland on conference record. So they would have been in the sixth spot this morning and feeling good.
The one thing is they're only a game
back in the win column for what it's worth.
Look, but brother, they've come back from their bye week with a lucky win over the Giants.
Yeah.
And then last night. There's no reason to sit here and think this team is in any way, shape, or form ready to make a run. You know, take a look at the quarterbacks in front of them. Give me one that you would take Zach Wilson over. Give me one.
I wouldn't.
Herbert, Stroud, Allen, Burrow, Deshaun, then Pickett. You know, you'd have to you know, pause there for a split second and then look at his fourth quarter numbers. Tua, Trevor Lawrence, and then Lamar and Mahomes. Forget it. You know, I'm not saying it's over. They're 4-4. There's lots more to be played. Can he go on some sort of a run or a tear? I'm just wondering why Josh Dobbs is able to do it in a 48-hour period. Maybe it's because he is the pastronaut. As he's apparently being called right now.
Pastronaut!
It's amazing.
I love that.
It's great.
Yes, that's the pastronaut, apparently, is a nickname being thrown out for him. Because he's brilliant. He's a rocket scientist. That's why he's able to do this on short notice. Kevin O'Connell can get in his ear and say, that guy's running a post to your right. The guy on your left is running, you know, a curl route. Go for it, kid. And then he can turn into, you know, Lamar Jackson. All I'm saying is I'm very thankful that I was able to stroll around here in Berlin today feeling good because I was not battling, you know, 90 minutes rest because I stayed up for that last night.
Not to rub it in.
No.
Because I'm not. But it did have that. No, seriously. That was an awkward preface. Let me explain what I'm going to say. They were in it. And that's what I know is frustrating is the entire game. Brockman, you and I were texting about this. And it's 14-0. Like, all they need is just that one touchdown. Get that one score. Yeah. And then you go into the fourth quarter and you're just waiting for the strip sack. Yeah. You're waiting for the tip. You're waiting for the deflect, you know, the deflection, the overthrow. Like, we're in it, but they couldn't. And that's all you were begging for. And the fact that you mentioned the Kansas City game, since the Kansas City game, they have three touchdowns. They've been on one play drives.
I know.
One play drives.
So I'm sure you got the rest of your show to go. I just want to tell you what I got on tap for tomorrow because you're not going to believe it.
No, let's do it.
Oh.
What do you got?
Okay. Because, you know, I strolled around Berlin today.
Taking awesome. Pictures.
I went to a museum. I actually saw artifacts.
You. It was great.
Good for you.
I loved it.
The Brandenburg Gate. And again, I when I strolled through that, I'm like, you know what? Like 60 years ago, couldn't do this right now. Couldn't do this. Obviously, I was thinking to myself, you know, like 90 years ago, I wouldn't be able to just be walking around in the city at all. But in going to see these incredible artifacts and what have you. And again, walking through the Brandenburg Gate where, you know, East and West Berlin was divided by a wall. Again, it reminds me to tell everyone to go out and vote. Today it is election day. That's a public service message. But tomorrow, the reason why I went to the museum is because Susie, who's sitting in the host chair the next 2 days, she says she's going to ask around for a guide for me to stroll around the town. The stroll be the key word. She came back with a bike tour of Berlin.
Oh, very cool.
And yeah, well, that's just, you know, not my bag.
Yeah, do you bike, Rich? I mean, I haven't known you to be a biker.
I love it. Siciliano, I love it. You're a sweetheart. You're like, that's a good idea, because maybe that's the sort of thing that you are. Now TJ's on the screen, because TJ knows as well. It wouldn't be my default to, you know, grab a bike and, you know,
start pedaling,
scoot around town like that. But, you know, again, Suze is saying, you know, hey, get out of your comfort zone. Yep. You should go. You should do this sort of thing. So I am tomorrow.
Hopping on the bike?
Going on a bike tour.
Yeah, buddy.
Look at Stanza, Rich. Do the opposite of what you would normally do.
That's what I'm doing. I'm here, right? I'm here. I'm going to museums.
You're here.
I'm Instagramming out artifacts.
What else are you going to do?
Instead of food.
I'm still waiting for the pretzel picks. Don't let Brockman bully you. Yeah,
I know.
I haven't done that.
I haven't done that here. But yeah, man, I got that coming up tomorrow. All right. So wish me luck.
Good luck.
It's apparently 12 kilometers. Already looked it up. That's over 7 miles of biking.
That's not very far.
It's flat.
That's a stage for me. Let's put it that way.
Rich, what was with the winter attire today? I looked up the temperature. It was only in the mid 50s.
No, sir. It was in the low 40s. In the shade. What do you mean? What are you talking about? What are you giving me crap for this? It was cold.
I was cold.
I want you to know, Rich, he gave you grief earlier.
In the start, it was nice, but
I said,
for what?
No. Brockman said it doesn't look that cold, and I said
it
who
look
cares?
That cold.
Hold on. Who cares if it's cold? That scarf and that hat go well together. That's a good look.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm bringing my A game here to Berlin.
I'm just surprised you weren't wearing a giant logoed Rich Eisen show hat. That's all.
I'm actually disappointed that you weren't wearing.
That's because we don't have that gear yet. You know, next year in Munich. You know, hey, listen, tomorrow I'll be biking. I don't know if that lid goes on underneath the helmet. It may not be a good look for me, but I'm doing it. That's tomorrow.
Nice.
That's a tease right there.
Tomorrow. Yeah, so
all right.
That'll be fun. Susie will be on tomorrow, and I'll give you the contents of my bike tour.
Can't wait. That's going to be
3.5 hours, 12 kilometers.
Wear a helmet.
Yeah, wear a helmet. Take lots of pics.
Oh, I got my helmet. Yeah, I'll get my helmet.
Safety first.
Yeah. All right, guys.
And you got to see that. And if you were at the Brandenburg Gate, you got to see the hotel where Blanket was hanging out on the balcony with Michael Jackson.
Oh, is that the one?
Yes. Yes.
What's the name of the hotel?
I forget the name, but if you're facing the gate the way you were.
Is that the Hotel de Rome? Is that what I passed by, one that looked like it?
Let's see. Let me tell you,
TJ's walking tour of Berlin, probably a little bit different than the one you're going to get.
Yes, sir. The biking tour of all of Michael Jackson's weird Berlin moments.
Yes.
That'll be tomorrow.
Yes.
You know, I don't know what the hotel was, but that's it. Thank you very much.
This was called the Hotel Adlon Kapinski.
Okay.
In Berlin.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, I did pass by that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there should be a Starbucks across the street.
I mean,
there's a Starbucks on every corner in Berlin.
Well, I was there 20 years ago.
And they speak better English than us when you walk
fantastic.
In.
Fantastic. I think I'll go past that on speed 4 tomorrow.
Speed 4.
Or is it gear?
Gear.
Is it gear 4?
Gear. Be careful on the cobblestone streets.
What am I
there
doing?
On the bikes. Yeah.
What am I doing? I'm getting out of my comfort zone. That's what I'm
that's
doing.
What you do. That's what travel's all about.
Do it, Rich.
Do it.
That's awesome.
Do it. Do it.
Thank you. Very good. All right, guys. Have a good rest of your show.
All right. Likewise.
See you, pal. Be safe.
Good day, sir.
Power rankings tomorrow if I'm in one piece.
Yes.
I do think it's cool, honestly. Getting
cool.
out of your comfort zone when traveling is always a good thing, whether it's walking into a restaurant you would never walk into if you were in the States, or a museum or a bike tour. It's good. It's always a good experience.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, you don't want to go there and eat the same food you eat at home. You don't want to go. Don't go to a, like, hey, I love my Starbucks, but like when you're overseas,
don't go to a Starbucks.
Yeah, you could try the local coffee shop, right? But yes, I have been to a Starbucks in Berlin because there was one right next to my hotel, and I walked in, hadn't said a word, And the girl behind the counter looked up and said in perfect, in better English than I speak, hey, how you doing? What do you need? It's like they have their radar. They know you're American walk in. Same thing in Amsterdam, where they speak better English than we do. You walk in, they can tell.
They know you're American.
Immediately.
Right away.
Yeah. Hey, what can I get you?
Oh.
Who, me?
Sure. Talking to me? Yeah, you. What do you need? What do you got? I'm like, oh.
Speaking of bikes, the amount of bikes
in Amsterdam.
It was just, I was amazed.
In Amsterdam, yeah. But you got to be careful as you're a pedestrian in any city in Europe,
obviously. They will run you over.
Yeah. Like, you got to be careful. There's the bike lane over there, and if you're just meandering off the sidewalk and walk into the bike lane.
You're getting yelled at.
That. Not, you're getting run over.
You're getting run over. They will hit you.
And then you're getting yelled at. Yeah. And then it's like, ding, 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 ding. You got hear the ding, 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 ding.
Constantly.
What's that ding? Why is it dinging? Ding, 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 ding. What is that?
Yep.
And then,
pow.
Splat. All right.
Positive. Splat.
Coming up next.
Positive Tuesday. Splat.
Coming up next. James Harden is the system. How'd the system do last night?
Well.
That's coming up next on the Rich Eisen Show on a Positive Tuesday.
Rich Eisen here. Let's talk about DoorDash because we talk about it in our household all the time. Susie and I always go to DoorDash whenever we need some terrific food from our favorite restaurants with timely, responsible, professional drivers delivering the food right to our house in a timely fashion. We use DoorDash. And now DoorDash is made even better with Dash Pass. Dash Pass is the one membership you need to get the most out of DoorDash in everyday life because Dash Pass members get $0 delivery fees and up to 10% off eligible DoorDash orders, including groceries, drinks, personal care items, and more. Dash Pass makes delivery even more worth it, helping members save more than $35 per month on average. So put a little joy back into your schedule. We are in our house. We've signed up for Dash Pass. You should do so today and use code RICHEISEN and get 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $12 or more after signing up for Dash Pass. Subject to change, terms apply. That's 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $12 or more after signing up for Dash Pass with code RICHEISEN. Subject to change, terms apply. Sign up for more. Become a Dash Pass member today.
Half redneck, half posh, 100% fun. Trey Crowder and Corey Ryan Forrester try and learn fancy culture in putting on airs.
The host of the Medium Popcorn Podcast, Brandon Collins and Justin Brown.
Okay, so Paddington 2 had like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes.
As
for
it should. You guys ruined that?
Justin came in and like took it down like 2 points because of his rating. That's the time we started getting death threats.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
No,
people worship that movie.
Putting on airs. The podcast is on YouTube and wherever you listen.
You told a story about the genesis of all right, all right.
Yes.
All right.
Here's where that comes from. So,
okay.
Dazed and Confused.
Yes. Genius film.
I'm in the right bar at the right time. Mm-hmm. And a guy goes, hey, you haven't done any acting? You might be right, just right for this part. Legendary cast director and producer Don Phillips. I come back, and they do what's called a makeup and wardrobe test, meaning they're shooting another scene one night. I'm just going to show up. Director's going to step off the set and come and look and go, mm-hmm. Great. I approve. Well, he comes and looks. He goes, geez, this is Wooderson. It's great. He goes, listen, you're not scheduled to work tonight, but we're over here at the Top Notch drive-thru, and you think Wooderson might want to pick up on the redheaded intellectual, Jack? And I'm like, sure. And he goes, want to shoot it? I'm like, sure. So I go get in the car. I'm about to shoot my first scene ever in a film.
Of your career?
Of my career. And I had been listening to a lot of 70s rock and roll at that time. And there was a certain live recording of a Jim Morrison concert in like Amsterdam or somewhere where he barks at the crowd, all right, all right, all right, all right, 4 times, real aggressively though. I'm not thinking about that, but this comes back. So I'm in the car and I'm like, who's my man? I'm nervous. I'm about to hear act. Who's my man? Who's Wooderson? I said, well, I'm about my car. And I go, well, I'm in my 70 Chevelle, yes. There's one. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm about getting high. I said, well, Slater's riding shotgun. You know he's got a Dubois rolled up. There's two. I said, and I'm about rock and roll. And I said, well, I got Nugent, Stranglehold in the 8-track, man. There's three, and I hear action. And I look up, and in my mind, I go, and I'm about chicks. I got 3 out of 4. Let's go get the 4th. All right, all right, all right. pull out. That was it.
So
first words
confused.
I ever said on screen.
All right. Good stuff there. Hey, it's the Rich Eisen Show. Hey, everybody. This is the Rich Eisen Show desk. It's lovely. Love the top. It's see-through. Good. See through to the screen. It is a well-made piece of furnishing.
Yeah, buddy.
It's furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call or click Grainger.com. Anybody watch the NBA last night?
Sure did.
Okay. So I hear Joel Embiid went off for 48, including a Sixers record 29 in one quarter. That's pretty cool. Saw the Indiana Pacers scored a 1980s-like total of 152
yeah, that was nuts.
Last night. I mean, not to give short shrift to the Sixers, who put up 146.
Embiid only played three quarters as well.
I know. How about the fact that the Knicks beat the Clippers 111-97? I am not judging the Clippers on only one James Harden appearance.
That's my job.
He went 6 of 9 from the field. It's not like he took 28 shots. It's not like he dominated the ball. 31 minutes, only 9 attempts. Okay. But the result wasn't there. I was watching Aaron Rodgers warm up, throw 50-yard passes in orthotics at MetLife. What I missed from this? Did it work? Doesn't look like it.
I mean, after one game.
Oh, no. You're the Clipper defender. Brockman, did it work?
I have no idea. I didn't see a single second of this. I'm literally just looking at the box score. Look, all four guys scored in double figures. Paul George, don't like the 2 of 11. Again,
yeah, an off game.
Just looking at the box score.
Well, from watching it, I can tell you that, you know, you could tell Zoo, our center, he was not used to getting, and I think I may have texted my boy this. James was dropping dimes early. And probably positions and places that Zubats wasn't used to getting the ball.
Sure.
So you could tell there were three times in particular where he should have taken the ball and went to the rack, and he kind of froze. I don't think he was used to getting the ball in that position. So I think that's going to take time. Harden didn't go out there looking to force shots. He went out there really to, you know, be a playmaker.
So who's playing the one in this? Because they all started together, Harden, Westbrook, Kawhi, Paul George, and you mentioned Zubat. So who is kind of running the show?
Yesterday it seemed like Russ was primarily bringing the ball up the court for the majority of the game.
Because he played well. He shot 8 of 13.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was a lot of turnovers for the Clippers yesterday, guys. A lot of shots, Andrew. They had wide open looks. They just... shots weren't falling.
Yeah, 22 turnovers.
Yeah, 22 turnovers. Harden did definitely go out there and try to be a distributor. Now, is that going to continue? How's this going to work? I don't know, but I think it's going to take some time. There's the first game that those guys have played together, so I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt and let's let this play out. Let's see. But like you said, only 9 shots. It wasn't like he was going up there, you know, just looking for his own shot. He was looking to get everyone involved.
What I just did, which is step aside to you, TJ, somebody who watched the game, who cared about the game, who could give legitimate analysis, is what is not going to happen on the majority of shows that you watch.
Oh, definitely not. We know how that works.
And this is, by I think all the screaming heads, doomed to failure. So every time the Clippers go out there, almost like what we were talking about with Beatle before, with the Cowboys. Bear with me. I know the Clippers are not the Cowboys. But it's this, well, they lost. Or even if they won, did it look right? Did James Harden miss too many shots? Look at his body language. It's almost like a circus. And I know that it is not the number one NBA story out there. I am just fascinated to see, A, how it goes, and B, how it is covered. Speaking of how things are covered, while watching the Jets and the Chargers last night, I did see this tweet as the Lakers were in Miami battling the Heat. Chris, would you like to read this aloud?
Sure. It's from Sham Sharanya, our friend, insider. Lakers star Anthony Davis had a spasm of his groin and is attempting to see if he can return for the second half versus Heat per sources.
What I had to read that four times yesterday. I was like, wait, what?
Of his groin.
I've never heard that in my entire life.
Me neither.
A spasm of his groin.
No idea. What does that mean?
All I know is we're watching the game at work last night and somebody read this tweet out loud.
What?
And we all just went, what? How about this? Anthony Davis aggravated a groin injury. He's attempting to play the second.
I mean, is Shams just messing with us at this point?
Like, that's a very interesting way to word that.
I'm driving in here today. I'm on the phone with Hoskins, Michael Hoskins, our producer in the other room. And I said, hey, pull up Shams' tweet from last night. No, I didn't see that. Okay. Pulls it up. And literally all I hear is, I don't know what that is. I've never heard an injury described like that. Put it this way. If Jay Glazer came on Fox's pregame show on Sunday and said, hey, guys, I know he wasn't on the injury report, but Patrick Mahomes is having a spasm in his groin this morning.
A spasm of his groin this morning.
That's what the weird part
He
was.
May not be able to go because, again, repeat, he's having scoopage, a spasm of his groin.
Got to have scoopage there.
My groin is spasming.
No, of.
Not around.
No, not around.
Not in.
No.
Not on.
Of.
Not near. Of. Pick a preposition. Of.
Not like a bulging disc.
A bulging what?
Well, the kids Google it. One of the greatest sports center things of
shout
all
out
time.
Steve Levy.
Hey, Chris, can I just give a shout out to something? We were talking about the Clipper game. You know, I think last week when the trade went through, we were talking about what this might mean for the Clippers. This just goes to like some of our YouTube fans who, yeah, we are football heavy here. We know that. But a lot of times we talk basketball and people act like these guys don't know what they're talking about. So
I admit sometimes I don't watch that much.
But TJ, we watch a lot of basketball.
We do. But so Rich says this last week. He said about P.J. Tucker. He specifically said at some point P.J. Tucker is going to sit in the corner, hit a three and win a big game, right?
Sure.
There were so many comments on our YouTube under that video that you guys are crazy. P.J. Tucker doesn't do it, blah, blah, blah. Do you know the stat from last night was since 2006, no NBA player has taken or made more corner threes than P.J. Tucker. And yet when we said it, everyone come in the comments like, he doesn't shoot corner threes. You guys don't know what you're talking about.
But that's also basketball Twitter, too. I mean, you want to get an argument going. I mean, basketball's the greatest conversation piece where this guy's better than that piece. This guy's better than that guy. This team's better than that team. Like, it's anything you say. I mean.
Oh, absolutely.
Anything you. Like, calling a Hall of Famer a Hall of Famer. Somebody else is better. Okay, I just said he was a Hall of Famer. Yeah, but these five guys were better. I don't care. I just mean in Springfield, there's a little setup for him. Speaking of his accomplishments, but somebody else is better. Okay, cool.
Gotta love it.
He would have whooped his ass in his prime. I didn't say he wouldn't. Look, I do watch the NBA. I'll be honest with you. I watch TNT Thursdays more than I watch the rest of the NBA schedule. I used to, full disclosure, like when I did a daily show like this and I did one for over a decade, yeah, I watched the NBA every night. When I did 710 Los Angeles here, local radio, the Lakers station.
Lakers.
I watched the NBA every single night because Tom Brady could throw 11 touchdowns on Thursday night football. And Friday morning, we were previewing the Lakers game that night in Orlando. Doesn't matter. That's what we were doing. So I had to watch the NBA all the time. It is hard. I mean, look, we're not digging ditches here. To when your job is only one thing, football, to watch everything every night and maintain a life at home. That is why, and I mean this, I'm not just saying this to kiss his rear end because he's in Germany and I like doing the show when he is not here. That is, it's really hard to do this show as Rich or anyone. Anyone on the other shows, pick your favorite national talk show host to be a master of everything, to be able to have that conversation. it's a lot of information in your head.
It's a lot of opinions.
And I'm glad you admitted that, Andrew, because a lot of times these guys on these shows will get in situations where they argue and make it seem like they've watched everything.
It's and
like,
then it goes viral when they say something wrong.
Your show comes on at, you know, 6 a.m. Eastern. Therefore, you were not up watching the Clippers game last night. So why make it seem like you were? But some of these guys really will make it seem like they watch each and every. It's impossible.
And some people do. Some people sit in their basements and they watch everything and they, you know, they don't know their family. That's fine. If that's how you want to do it, that's why I really do mean it. Like, for Rich to be a master in the NFL, right, to be at this, the top of his profession and come in here and have opinions as to how Bruce Bochy worked his bullpen the night before, it's hard to do. Again, none of us are digging ditches here. We're watching sports. We're really, really, really grateful for it.
But somebody's got to do it, Andrew. Might as well be
right.
me.
When I got out of the national talk show every day kind of thing and realized my job was Red Zone Channel and NFL Network every day, then that's what your primary focus
is. Becomes
your
world.
I'll watch the NBA, but I'm not going to expend the emotional energy into
You're also a huge baseball fan.
I'm a huge baseball fan. I watch the Guardians knee the Indians every night.
Right.
But playing fantasy helps. Yeah. Playing fantasy helps you stay on top of all these things. Anyway, I digress. Speaking of the National Football League, Mike Tomlin was on one this morning. What Mike Tomlin had to say about his wide receiver that took all his Steelers stuff off of Instagram. Next.
The football season is underway, and Believe podcasts are talking about it.
When he went home and went to sleep, Michael Parsons was terrorizing him.
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
And to be only producing 15 points a game, that's something that is definitely disheartening.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
As a quarterback, I would expect him to be acting like that. Take the accountability. Put that on yourself. Don't put it on your teammates.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
Do you not believe the Tuck rule was appropriately applied as it was written in the rulebook?
I do not. I watch the news a lot. You know, a lot of times you'll have, you know, two economists on television, and they'll be talking about their economy. One will say the economy is doing great, mm-hmm. and one will say it's in the tank. But you're like, oh, these are economists. They both have the same facts and figures, same numbers. How can they have differences of opinion, right? 2 + 2 = 4. In our case, 2 + 2 mm-hmm. is still 4, but they added one. So 2 + 2 = 5. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they were able to add their own interpretation into it. So they took a play, 2 + 2 = 4, mm-hmm. a fumble. They added their own interpretation and made it into an incomplete pass. So if me and you were in the court of law, mm-hmm. and you're arguing that his arm was going forward, I would say, well, show me the part where his arm's going forward. You would show the tape, you see his arm going forward, and then you'd bring it back. And then I say, well, tell me, when did he fumble? Did he fumble while his arm was going forward? And you would have to tell me, no. He brought it when he brought it back into his body. Hence the tug rule, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So was he bringing it back into his body, or was it into his body? So there's a technicality to it.
Hey, look.
So he wasn't bringing the ball back into his body. When I hit him, he had it, both hands on the ball. It's in his body. He ain't bringing it back into his body. It's a fumble. 2 + 2 = 4, unless you add one. See, and then it's 5.
See, I thought you meant 2 + 2 = 5 because that's how many Super Bowls Tom Brady has won.
I like that. I can dig it. I love the fact that he's won 5 Super Bowls. I'm happy, and I'm actually happy for him. This guy.
This guy.
Charles looking hates my guys.
Charles is going to beat you up one day.
Man. Now, I would pay to see that fight. We're talking off there how I don't watch the fight game much anymore. I'd pay to see that fight.
Well, me versus Charles Woodson?
Yeah.
Why?
That would not be fair.
Not that I want to see you injured.
Thank
well,
you.
That's what would happen.
I'd like to see that fight.
Thank you.
It would be entertaining.
Is this for the monkey story joke?
You can't get over that.
Brockman did say, "I'm not much bigger than a monkey," earlier.
No, that's not what he said. That's not what I said. That's not what he said.
What did you say?
You just said you were short.
I just said you're a little guy.
A little guy.
I am.
You said the monkeys were little guys, and I was like,
"Being chased by monkeys."
You're kind of a little guy.
Yes. It's okay. Charles Woodson joins us coming up in about 15 minutes. He is a winemaker. Have you had his wine?
Yes, and his bourbon.
Very, very good.
Baby.
Oh, I haven't had the bourbon.
Very delicious.
I'm going to write this down and ask about
it. There might be a bottle here somewhere.
There actually is, I think.
You know how much I like his wine? So I never check bags.
Intercept wines?
I refuse to check bags.
Same?
Ever. Ever, ever, ever. It makes me angry to check bags. Coming home to the Super Bowl meant some years ago, the Minneapolis Super Bowl, I had a bottle of Charles Woodson's wine that was given to me, Intercept wine. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to leave it here. I had to check a bag. I checked a bag just for his wine.
Worth it.
Such a hard life I live.
Yeah. Jeez.
I know. All right, let's get to the Steelers. Mike Tomlin is the only coach that speaks on Tuesday. Who cares, you ask? Well, we that cover the NFL know when the coaches speak. Mike Tomlin is alone. He has the stage at noon Eastern every Tuesday. We haven't seen the Steelers since last Thursday when they beat Will Levis and the Tennessee Titans. They hung on fourth quarter as scripted. Kenny Pickens marches them down the field. They then force the interception there on the shot to the end zone with no time left or whatever, a few seconds left, and they win the game. It was notable, however, after George Pickens was barely noticed by Kenny Pickens during that game. George Pickens, number 14, you know, Pickett to Pickens, that guy. Mercurial, let's call him, wide receiver from Georgia that fell to the second round for, well, now you know why, issues. George Pickens scrubbed the Steelers from his social media. The Steelers are now back on his social media, but this is the first time that Mike Tomlin had been asked about it since.
How do you coach a young player like that?
Like breathing. It's easy. I know it's a cute story for you guys, but it is a pebble in my shoe, to be quite honest with you, in terms of the things that I have to do in an effort to get this group ready to play this week. Our focus is on the Green Bay Packers and what we're all going to do in this football game. And I can't state it any plainer than that. It's like reality television, the way you guys follow social media and write stories about it.
He looks so pissed.
He's annoyed.
Man.
So,
pebble in my shoe.
I believe what he says, and I believe that he believes what he says. But what's left out there is, let's say, the video of when Deontay Johnson scored the touchdown, and he's celebrating like it's Shawshank because he hadn't scored a touchdown since, no joke, Ben Roethlisberger was quarterback. Yeah. And George Pickens, who lined up on the other side of the formation, touchdown went to the right, he lined up left, just turns his back and walks to the bench while everyone is celebrating. That was me, 5 yards on me. Bing!
$5.
Everyone is celebrating with Deontay Johnson, and George Pickens is just walking off. George Pickens was the first one in the locker room, the first to leave, by all accounts, by everyone covering the game. So that stuff is real. And George Pickens, who was the most talented receiver in last year's draft, fell to the second round for these reasons. That's why. You ask, why did he last to the second? Because of this. Talk to the people of Georgia. Not a bad guy, but I mean, this stuff happens. This is who he is. Yep. So it is a legitimate question or line of questioning, I think, for Mike Tomlin. But I do give Tomlin credit. He finds a way to turn things around. A, it protects his player. B, it makes the media the bad guy. Mm-hmm. C, it changes the topic. So he's good at that. And yeah, I'd expect to see George Pickens get thrown at frequently this week when they play the Packers at Lambeau.
Home game.
No. In Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, in Pittsburgh.
Yes, it should be a Steeler victory.
Packers, not a great team.
The Steelers, however, have been outgained in 8 consecutive games. The 8 games they've played this year. And they're 5-3 somehow through.
No idea how.
Those 8 games. Eventually, you would have to think there's a regression here and that their luck isn't always coming in
and that they lose one of them. I just don't think this is the one in which it happens. But I love Mike Tomlin. We call him Tuesdays with Tomlin in the NFL Network newsroom here. You know, usually his opening soliloquy is roughly between 10 and 12 minutes before he takes a question. He comes up with great phrases, and Al Michaels was referring to this during the broadcast last week, like division of labor. His availability will depend on his availability during the week. I'm messing it up, but things like that. He's awesome.
We have
he's
a
great
hit
TV.
List of Mike Tomlin drops.
We're not going to apologize for winning.
That's one of our favorite ones.
What
Stay
else we
by
got?
Your phone, man. I may need you.
Keep going, Jay. Play them all.
Us sucking.
I don't even know what that was about. What's a high on my damn agenda?
I don't know.
His,
they're great.
I will let his availability be, or let his participation be our guide as to his availability.
What does he say? We want
participants,
not hostages?
Yeah. Yep. Yes, we want volunteers not hostages in the current geopolitical climate. Maybe not the best line to use on the podium.
Well, that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was a couple years ago.
Yes,
yeah.
A couple of years, but he uses that line all the time. Yeah. He is a joy. And anyone that wants to hammer Mike Tomlin because he hasn't won enough Super Bowls, go around and look at the other teams and what they are dealing with, and then call me back. So there's that.
Never had a losing season.
For George Pickens, and they have never had a losing season at any time. All right, other stuff around the NFL today. It is Tommy DeVito, who's moving forward as the Giants quarterback, and the Giants really are stuck here because we're beyond the trade deadline, and no one's walking in that door. What are their options? Colt McCoy is an option. I'm just throwing the name out there. I haven't mentioned it in the New York media.
Carson Wentz is still at home.
Carson Wentz is an option. The idea that the Giants would go sign Carson Wentz, think about that. Think about the Carson Wentz back page headlines if the Giants were to go sign. It is not going to happen. I'm not saying they're tanking, but if you're the Giants and you're facing this proposition, Carson Wentz, let's see how many games we could win, or if the draft were to happen right now, we're picking four. Why bother? Which one are you choosing? Exactly.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
Too much time is spent discussing talent's age. The younger demo is just as excited about a Paul Heyman or a John Cena or an Undertaker or Becky Lynch, or I don't care what their birth certificate says, they're going to draw a younger demo because they're fun to watch and they're great entertainers.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.